Conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to the programme, the very first programme of 2009, and a happy new year to all our listeners out there. This is the third year of In Conversation, and I can tell you that the programme, would you believe, is booked out already for January and February. But to you, the listeners out there, a very happy new year to you, a prosperous new year, and more than important, I suppose, a healthy new year to everybody out there. If you'd like to contact the programme, we'd like to hear from you, 066 712 3666, or you can text us now on 083 300 300. Lots of great programmes coming up in the next few weeks, so stay with us every Wednesday night. David is on sound, Tanya's taking your call, and really there's hardly any need to introduce my guest tonight. I have three men in studio with me. Their life has been politics, but they're three great Kerrymen. They're interested in many, very, very huge amount of all different involvements all over Kerry. Their voices, and they're known throughout Kerry and throughout Munster and throughout Ireland. It's the first time, actually, that the three of them had sat down together in a studio to talk about their life and times. We won't be delving into politics too much or anything, but I'd like to welcome them. Jackie Healy, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Wishy, very much.
Michael, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Wishy.
And Danny, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much. We're delighted to be here.
Jack, first time the three of you sat down together?
Never before did it happen, no way.
Yeah?
Even the people, a lot of people tried it, but you were the first person we really answered the call to, and we're very proud and glad of that, because you deserve every bit of it.
And of course, we pay the biggest fee, don't we?
I know, there's no doubt about
that's
it.
That's right. To see you.
And lest anybody else would want to say anything, I want to compliment you and the show and also Radio Kerry, because you are doing a fantastic job for every single part of the county.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. There's great heavy in anyway, lads. We'll be chatting away for the night. We won't be going in tenting deep, because you're sick of that. We're all sick of it. Jackie Healy Ray. I didn't know until someone rang me today that it's a double-barreled name, but there's no bigness in the renting, because the Ray comes from somewhere outside around Kilgarvan, Jack.
The farm up in Kilgarvan, Rakish Locked, was always known. And my people were always known as the Healy Rays, while you were the Healys of Cologues. You were the Healy Fibe. You had different Healy, the Healys of the Rock, the Hurlers.
Yeah.
You had the different Healys right around the parish, and the Healys of Avon were renowned for being fiddlers.
Yeah.
They're a team of Healys in Avon, and they were the finest fiddlers that was ever in any part of Ireland or any part of the world. They were steeped in real music. But we were always known as Healy Ray.
That's where the Ray came from.
Yeah.
That's where the Jack, when did politics your very first remembrance of politics and wanting to get involved in them? Was there in politics in the family by your mother and father?
Not really, no. No, only just average that they'd go to vote and that was it.
Yeah.
But I was very interested in politics from the very start. And I suppose I was a member of Fianna Fáil back over the years. And the first time I really got involved was in John O'Leary's by-election in 1966. And I joined some very big guns at that time. Of course, I had fantastic friends that were involved in politics who led me on a lot, including Morris Gallivan and various other people. But I joined them in Killarney and we formed a formidable team for canvassing and everything with Neil Blaney. And of course, needless for me to say, one of the most famous politicians that I ever met or ever happened to know, and the best operator, he was the only man that I ever knew out of all the people that was able to run a by-election. He knew to the T, he had it off like you'd sing the soldier song, and once he'd come in, he expected every person that was in that team to, he wanted total commitment, 100% performance in every way, and nothing less than the best performance would do him.
Neil Blaney.
Neil Blaney.
Now, I have very fond memories, and I can remember back in the 66 when you used to have your touchlight possessions through Killarney, because John O'Leary, he got him in that time.
That's
right. I remember he'd come out of the window of the Grand Hotel. There'd be cheering crowds there. They were great times.
Massive times.
Massive times. Michael, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
And listen to me. And we must announce to our listeners this evening, you have a death in the family. Unfortunately, a great friend of mine and a relation of yours.
That's right. Well, myself and Dennis McSweeney, we were married to two sisters. And unfortunately, Dennis passed away last night. Everybody knew Dennis. He worked in the Randalls' hotel on the Muckross Road. A very popular man, a terrible nice man. Everybody knew him from attending weddings and functions in the hotel there. And to his wife, Noreen, to his son, Donna, to Sandra and Sinead, they got an awful fright when he passed away during the night, last night. And he was only 54 years of age. And like I say, people from Killarney town and all the environs of Killarney and all over South Kerry, they all knew him because he had a terrible nice way about him. And when we'd be at a wedding there, he'd always make something of everybody. And he'd be on the tables and then he'd be working behind the bar for the night. And he was a big man, a joint of a man, and a very popular and outgoing man that everybody will miss very sorely. So they'll be awake tonight, and tomorrow he's been kept at home. And I just like that we are all thinking of them, and we send them our thoughts and at this terrible, difficult time
and
for the family.
And you and Dennis were married to two sisters.
Jack Lyon's daughters.
He's a lovely man because I know him. My father-in-law, Jack Slattery, worked in Randall's Hotel Killarney back 40 years ago.
Yes.
And Dennis was working there, and it was through that I got to know Dennis, and I'd meet him on a regular basis. And like you, I'd like to send my sympathy to his wife and family and to everybody connected with him. So may the sod rest lightly on Dennis.
Yeah.
And he was a lovely, quiet, gentle, big man, as you said.
That's right. And very easygoing. He'd never get excited or he'd never lose the head. He just had a great way about himself.
And it was nice to remember him here tonight.
That's right.
I too would like to express my deep sympathy to his wife Noreen and to Michael's wife Eileen and to John and all the other, and Siobhan and all the other members of the Lyon family. I know every single one of them. They helped me in elections. I knew the man himself. He served me many drinks inside the bar, and he was a first-class operator. And I'm so sorry that he went so sudden. And again, I'm deeply sorry to the family, and I want to say that over the waves of Radio Kerry tonight.
And Danny, of course, you would want to concur with the lads, wouldn't you?
I do indeed. I want to sympathise with Noreen and our three children and all the extended family, you know. And it was a fierce, sudden shock. And he, like you said there, he was a giant of a man, a gentle giant.
Yeah,
and,
he was,
you know,
yeah.
It's too bad at such a young age, you know, to have to depart like that. And it's very hard on the family.
Yeah. So, lot of mercy on him. Michael, it was inevitable, I suppose, really, that you would get involved in politics, was it?
Well, I was always interested in politics, and I was involved, first of all, in Ogra Fianna Fáil, and I was...
So you're dead?
Well, I had to stand for election to get elected to various different offices in Ogra Fianna Fáil.
It all came from your father,
then? Oh, yeah, from the interest, of course.
Yeah,
and we'll
say
at the very beginning, one of the early recollections that I'd have would be you could come home from school... And my father would be getting ready to hit the road, going to a by-election. And I used to be taken to the by-elections. I remember going to numerous by-elections with him. And great characters that you'd remember very well yourself, Weishi, the great Maurice Gallivan from Iron Mills.
I worked with him in St. Finnan's Hospital for 38 years.
And Pat Gearn, another...
neighbour of mine.
Another lovely man.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be in the back seat. Pat Gearn used to be alongside me, and Maurice Gallivan co-piloting in the front. And we'd head off, and I could be out of school for 3 weeks, and I could honestly tell you that I'd learn more in 3 weeks at a by-election than I'd have learned if I went to the best university in Europe.
The education of the world.
The education of the world, and who can be sure, there was nothing easy about it, but it was enjoyable and would be made work and would be put out and would be put up posters and running here and running there. But it was great, and whether we won or lost, we had a great time, and... I respected those type of men very, very much because they were great characters. They were very special people. People like Maurice Gallivan that had a head like an encyclopedia, and he could remember everybody. If he met a person once, it was a well-known fact, he'd remember him forever. And Pat Skerrin then was such a nice man to be out with as well. And all of the people that would meet when would be fighting by elections, it would start, it'd get you interested in politics. And if you...
Great education.
Well, it was. And if you don't like fighty elections, you have no business being involved in politics.
Danny, I suppose you're the very same. You, the, your interest in politics came directly from your dad, didn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And like Michael, I was involved in Ogre Fianna Fáil as well, and involved in all the campaigns, the general election campaigns prior to my father going for co-option to Kerry County Council. I remember that co-option back in 1973, December 1973, and all the meetings in Kinmare and Killarney that took place before he was selected and got the nomination to succeed Michael Doherty from Lisnagrave on Kerry County Council. And I remember the subsequent general or council election in 1974. And at that time, we hoped that he'd fit in for the last seat. But he did much better than that. He headed the poll and took the first seat in May or so of 1974.
Michael, how proud are you of your father?
Well, the one thing that I'd always say about my father is that a lot of people in recent years will see they'd be thinking of the work that he's done above in Dublin and he being a TD in the Dáil. But before that, to think that he had given, you could say, 30 years serving on Kerry County Council and on the Southern Hill Board, and the amount of work that he and his colleagues did in this county in what I'd call those early years, when there was no sewerage schemes in many of our towns and villages, that they were in an awful way and we needed water schemes to be done in places. And the slogging and the work that those people, like my father, those public representatives who were on Kerry County Council for many, many years, when money was very, very scarce. And I mean, he did a tremendous amount of work as a public representative before 1997, before he ever went up to Dublin. And then everybody knows what he has achieved since 97. And to have a father that was, you could say, 30 years with a local authority and then stood for and successfully contested three general elections after each other, that's a great achievement. And but you see, it didn't fall out of the sky to him. He was always a worker in every role that he ever performed in. He never backed from anything or anyone. And that's why when it came to taking on the might of the political parties in 1997, with the tremendous group of people that he had around him, he felt that the time was right to stand out and to make a stand and to win an independent seat, which if we go back in it and if we think about it, and to head the poll in 1997, it was a marvellous achievement.
All in his own is a
philosophy. Exactly. But with the great group of people
that stood
with him ever and that worked so hard to ensure that there'd be an independent seat in South Kerry. So to answer it in a nutshell, yes, extremely proud of the work since 97, but also before that, as a local representative.
How proud are you of your father?
Extremely proud, indeed, because I know what he has gone through politically and personally back over the years, every step that he has had to take and every battle that he has had to fight.
And raised a big family.
That's right, there was six of us. And like Michael said, there times when great, like, you know, and times are bad now, and we think they're going to be bad, and we hope that they won't be as bad as what is being predicted. But definitely, he had to go through an awful lot, and you know, he's able to do a lot of other things besides politics. He was a great welder. I mean, if he welded something for it wasn't going to break, and you might be there for an hour with him or more, twist it and hold it this way and that way, and put another spot in it this way. But like anything he did it well. Don't know,
and he's still doing it well.
Well, that's what I believe, and we do our best. And I suppose I have to concur with Michael there in what he says. We wouldn't be anything only for the network of supporters and people that are behind us and the people that have belief in us. And those are the people that are keeping us where we are, and we hope who will keep us there when myself and Michael in the next council election in June. those are the people that we rely on to keep us in touch with what's happening in the ground and to tell us this is wrong and that's wrong and he must do this and he have to do that. That's why we're there, Wishy. We have a great network on the ground and we like to think that we have common sense and the people that support us think that we have.
Lovely. I tell you, we have loads and loads to talk about when I come back. I'll be Jack, did you immigrate for a while?
I did for a little while, Wishy, but I'd like to keep on the line. We were there for a second.
Do you know, we'll go for a break and we'll come back and we'll come straight back to you. We'll talk about that then.
Okay.
What line we're on.
Okay.
We'll go for a short break. 0667123666. You can treat Texas now on 0833003300. David is on sound. Tanya's taking your call. I'm talking to the Healy Ray family. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
In conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry. In conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
You're very welcome back to the programme. I'm talking to Jackie, Michael and Denny Healy-Ray about their life and times. We're not going into any heavy politics. Do the Healy-Rays follow any soccer team? Sean says in West Cork. Michael, do you follow any soccer team?
I have young lads that give all their time fighting about soccer. And if they were here, they'd talk about it till tomorrow morning with you. And there's many a hot debate about it at home, but Manchester United is supported in our house, and unusually enough, we have a Leeds supporter in our house.
Yeah,
you wouldn't get too many of them around.
Jack, do you follow the soccer?
Oh, Manchester United would be a very, very hot favourite behind them all in every game. And if there was ever a free hour in Dublin when it'd be up during the run of the week. And if Manchester United was playing, I'd do everything in my power to see the game.
You remember the Busby Babes. You remember the Munich air crash myself.
The massive Munich air crash that killed them all.
Dan, do you follow the soccer?
Likewise, yeah. Manchester United supporter, I'll admit, yeah.
Good stuff. Jackie played in county finals with great success for his native Kilgarvan. Is it a fact that Michael is a holder of All-Ireland medals, Bernard and Ballymac?
It is true that I have 3 All-Ireland medals, but they're not for hurling or they're not for football, they're for whistling.
For whistling?
Because I used to be on the circuit going to flag holes and I enjoyed every flag
hole. Come on, give us one bit of a bow there. Cueness now while Michael gives us his All-Ireland winning whistle.
You're catching me in the hop now.
Well done, Michael. Well done. Are the All Ireland Whistling Championships still in progress?
I'd say they are. And there was.
How many did you win?
I won 3 All Irelands in a row.
Yeah.
And there was a great family. You know them well yourself, the Carr family. They were involved in the flag holes at the time. And they used to provide stiff competition for me at the mouth whistling competitions.
Yeah.
But I used to have a great time at it. And flag holes are great, and Cultus is great. What it does for young people, it's a great interest for young people.
Of course, your dad was chairman of Cultus Cultori here, weren't you, Jack?
For 7 years, of course, I was. Yeah. I was, and indeed, I had some fantastic friends in Cultus Cultori here, and we did a lot of good work for song and dance and music, and we brought flag holes to Kilgarvan and to many other places during them years, you know.
The boys mentioned there, Jack, I'm pushing you, the boys mentioned there about the huge background of workers that you have, as we call them in the GA, the grassroots workers. And you're a great believer in grassroots workers.
Oh, they're the root. If it went for, I was going to come in that line, we should there after Danny and Mike. But the people that we really have to thank in a very special way are the massive team of workers on the ground. Because I remember in by-elections back over the years, that's the time Fianna Fáil were able to win by-elections because they had workers on the ground. We won in 1997 because of the workers we had placed all round. Them workers are with us all the time, and the one thing I wanted to say about them, our record back over the years, and my record always had been, and Danny and Michael follow the same line, that people don't come up and ask us, can we fill the potholes in the road? But what the way they come with a different tune altogether is, We want you to fill the potholes in the road because the road is unbearable and you will have to do something about it. Well, we went off, and I went off on my bicycle as hard as I could over the Tralee and tried to get them things sorted out. And you see, that's what elected Michael when he got going, and that's what elected Denny. And without bragging or boasting, that's what I hope will elect him again, the amount of massive work that they have done, and I'm in the middle, and I handle the Dublin problems for them. And God knows they're fantastic workers. Yeah. Because I'll say this about them, and then I won't praise them no more. If I phone them on a Sunday morning, when every other fellow maybe is resting out for an hour, one of them could be in Ballinas Gillies Sunday morning, and the other fellow could be over on the far side of Kilcommon or in Thurin Cahill or somewhere looking at a planning permission or something out of road problem. But we have to answer the people that had worked for us, and if it weren't for the grassroots,
you wouldn't be there.
We wouldn't be there, and that's being very honest with you.
Denny, do the family ever worried about your? Do you ever worry about your dad? The amount of work he's doing, the amount of travelling he's doing, and the amount of hours he's putting in the road, and various things like that. Would you ever worry about him?
Not really.
Do you ever tell him slow down?
Not really, Weesha, because you can't tell him slow down. He's happier when he's going, and I remember him always, like, if he was in one field, he'd have to get out of it and get into the next field, you know. If yeah. He has this impetus to keep going, like, you know.
I know, and, yeah. I know that, I can see that.
Yeah, and that's always been his trait, and like, while he's able and has the interest, and he has massive interest, because he'll check up on us there, and you know, and he'd surprise you at times what he'd think of.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that he might have asked you about 3 weeks before, and he'd come back about, say what was happening about such a fella. You know, and he has a tremendous head.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any of us would equal him, the head he's got, like, you know. I being honest, I think he a massive head altogether. And
Michael, go on with
a funny thing about that, though, just as Denny says it, it's no notice in the world. It could be half-ish 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and it could be on the phone to him, and it'd be no notice for him to turn around and say, do you remember that planning permission there from a few weeks ago? And he could tell you the name and the address of the applicant. What way is that getting on now these days, or what's the up-to-date in it? And maybe they had to resubmit further information, and he could hit you this, like, no, Cardi, no, this could be 2 o'clock in the morning. He could say, and what did such and such a planner say in reaction to the information that was given in, or how is it getting on? And, like, what does that show? But only nothing but the height of interest. And it works the other way then as well. He could be talking to at 2 o'clock at night, and he could be the last man who spoke to, and he could be the first man who could talk to again. Any time after 6:30 again, he could be on the phone again in the morning. So that's a great sign of anybody. And what you said there to Denny about, would anybody like to ask him to try and slow down? It would be like trying to stop the train of passing into Killarney and trying to stop it yourself with one hand. You'd have as good a chance.
Jack, you have tremendous energy. You're shoving into your the old. Are you the oldest deputy in the Dáil?
God knows, Tony. God knows, you know. I was going to mention poor Tony Gregory.
Now that you mentioned Tony Gregory, of course, and we were talking about that there. A lot of mercy in the man.
Yeah, but I would like to we pass a more sympathy to his family here tonight, because he was in the same corridor as me, and like that and everything else, he did a massive amount of work for his people in Inner Dublin, and I was very sorry to see him pass away, and I always was very friendly. He was very friendly with me as we passed him, but. What I was going back to say to you, Weesha, was a fella said to me one time, and I thought he made more sense than an awful lot of other people that were talking for a long time. Do you know, Jackie, he said, there is one thing I'll say to you. Don't ever worry about sleep. And I said, what do you mean? I'll tell you, he said, I don't care about sleep. He said, if I get any couple of hours at all in the middle of the night, because every hour of sleep, he said, is an hour wasted in your life. Mm-hmm. And he said, it'd be as well for you to be dead while you're asleep, he said. But while you're up and awake, you'll be doing something for someone all of the time, and even for yourself. But don't waste too much time in bed, he said.
You need much sleep?
Not at all, no.
How many hours a night would you normally have?
Anything after 4 or 4.5 hours, I could go in or out.
Yeah.
I don't know, the young lads at home, I'm always saying this to them as well. If any one of them was inclined to sleep it out or anything, I'd always be giving out, and I'd say, look, being asleep is the nearest thing to being dead, and who in their right mind wants to be dead will be dead long enough. So you must drill it into them, of course, and definitely, it's a great asset if we don't need to sleep too much, because you can. Your time is important, and yes, you should be doing something, and you should be productive all the time. I don't care what we're doing, as once we're doing something.
Yeah.
But, and not to be stopped.
Danny, you're running the pub at home now, aren't you, of course?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
What's the secret? The pub is in the family, of course. You took it from your dad. What's the secret of a good pub?
Well, I suppose it's a family-run pub. My wife does the most of it, and I'm there myself, and we live in the pub. Our six children were reared in the pub, and they're still all there. You know, and I believe it's a major factor, you know, having a hands-on, you know, approach yourself and meeting the customers. And they like to come into the people that owns the bar. You see a lot of bars now, you know, they're rented out, and maybe they're run by staff, and staff are fine, of course, but they like to meet the owners, and you know, and they like to come into the owners, and I feel that, you know, a family-run pub is an advantage, or has an advantage over other kind of businesses, you know.
Yeah. I want to ask the three of you before we go for a break. Any time I'd meet the three of you, either at a funeral or maybe at a sporting occasion, or I'd bump into you somewhere, you'd always stop and have a chat and have a crack and a joke and things like that. But any time I'm ever talking to any three of you, your mobile phone rings. Without fail. As a matter of fact, coming in tonight, they were ringing outside. I told the three of you to turn them off. Michael, how do you keep up with everything? You're in big demand. The three of you are in big demand. The Hillyria name is one of the most popular, well-known names in Ireland, I'd say.
Well, I suppose the phones, they're a blessing and they're a curse. Definitely, what I think about when I see how married we all are now to mobile phones, I think about all the work that the likes of my father and the people that were on Kerry County Council with him for years and years, and all they achieved with no phone,
right,
and the world didn't stop. No. Do you know? And look at all the great things people did in the past. But look, it's modern technology, it's there now, and people want instant communications. And between myself and Danny and my father, like, we do an awful amount of clinics every month. But the truth to be told, the clinics days are really numbered, in that when a person has an issue or a problem, they'll ring you up. And they'll get you there and then. And if they don't get you that minute, they'll ring you back 5 minutes later or an hour later, and they'll get you. And it's instant communications now. And of course, we like keeping up the tradition of the clinics, because we like rolling around to the different areas, and we want to keep that up.
And your numbers are public. I see all your numbers in the Killarney Advertiser.
Oh, they're all over the place. Mm. And it's important that people have that direct access. One of the first calls I had this morning was a very troublesome case of a person who was in very bad health, and they were waiting for a bed in a certain hospital, and that problem needed to be sorted out. That person couldn't wait to meet you somewhere else.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
So the phone is good in cases like that.
Jack, how do you find the mobile phone? You come from an era like myself when there was no mobile phone. There was only the old big handphone, and next thing you're into the mobile phone.
When I was a young fella going to school, I'll be very honest with you, that we had no phone in the house. We had no phone in the house, or we had no radio in the house, or we had no television in the house. And to directly answer your question about the mobile phone, well, you see, we really find it very, very, very handy now, because if my phone is turned off for some reason that I'm talking to another phone, maybe when I'll come back and put on the second phone, there's a message left in that phone for me, will you please ring me, I'm an urgent problem. But you see, they are very good, as Michael have said, and Danny, that it is very good to have them. Bad to want them, but it is very good to have them. And in other words, they bring people a lot closer to you. I mean, if there's a problem now in Castle Island or in Sneem or in Beaufort or Milltown, anywhere you want to name, people are on to you in a matter of seconds. But in the olden times, as I say to you, we had no television at home. We had no radio at home, and we had no phone at home. And if you want to know, the first match that I ever went to hear at a radio in my life was in Judd Donovan's God Be With Him of Maggot in Kilgarvan. I crossed the bog up to my father and mother allowed me go to hear the match in Donovan's, the 1947 All-Ireland football final in the Polo Grounds in New York.
Yeah.
And I never missed a match after that in my life. And later on then, when we got equipment and got moving and got gear and stuff like that and had a radio at home and all that thing, I never forget the first one I heard in Donovan's Amington. May God be with him now.
And Mihalo here.
And Mihalo here from the polo ground in New York.
I tell you, we're going for a break. When we come back, I want to talk to the lads about what Kerry means to them and what Kerry means above in Dublin and how proud they are of it and various other things like that. 0667123666, so you can text us now on 083-300-3300. David and Sound, Tanya's waiting for your call. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
In conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry. In conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. I'm talking to Danny, Michael and Jackie Healy-Ray. They're my three guests in studio. Tom in Killarney says Jackie was a class act and the hardest working playing on the football and hurling field and a great musician. Mike came in and I'd let Michael come out and cook dinner for us here in Dingle after seeing the job he did in the restaurant Fair Play. That comes from Greg. Best of luck to the Healy Rays, especially Denny, on the upcoming elections. Best wishes to the Healy Rays, especially Denny. I see him taking calls from his constituents one night when he was in a bar, and he should have been taking time off for himself. Well done. That's for Jackie too. Dear outstanding family, keep up the good work. From Kieran Lynch in Kilcommon. John from Ballymac here. We would badly need Jackie here in Arkerry for a few months to fill the potholes. Jack, they're looking for you up in Arkerry. John from Ballymac here. We'd badly need Jackie here in Arkerry for a few months. Jackie was a class hurler and musician, hard worker. He is well able for all the blackguards in the Dáil. He's a credit to all Kerrymen. Thanks from Tom O'Connor. Best wishes to the Healy Ray team from Sylvester, Mary, the twins, Patrick, Mike, Joe, Mary, Ellen, McCarthy, Kilgarvan. Good so the Kilgarvan thing. Dan, coming back to you there now. How proud are ye of Kerry? What does Kerry mean to you? Because the Healy Rays and yourself and your caps and your voices and your work and everything is associated with Kerry.
Well, Wishy, I suppose, first of all, you know, I must mention my cousins and my uncles and aunts in America. I want to wish them well.
They're listening over in New Jersey.
There's, I have two uncles and two aunts and their families. I think we have about 20 first cousins there. And my son Johnny is actually there for a week and he's coming home on Sunday and his girlfriend Caroline. So I wish them all the very best over there. We're very, very proud of Kerry and the people of Kerry especially. You know, I don't believe that any other part of the world will meet people as with the hospitality of Kerry people. You know, when we go around to the doors there at election time, they're unbelievable. You know, they'll do anything for you. They'll offer you tea, they'll offer you sandwiches, and you maybe won't always get the vote, but you won't go away hungry. They'll give you something. You know, they're great. And sure, Radio Kerry, I feel that we've tremendous advantages here in Kerry. We've Radio Kerry, we've the best Kerry football team, we've the best football teams in Kerry. You know, the land and the scenery of Kerry is unbelievable, and you don't realise that until you travel the other counties.
Well said. Michael, it was mentioned there about the restaurant. I was watching you on television, you took part in that programme, The Restaurant.
Oh, I did.
Now, my wife said to ask you,
yes,
tonight, coming on, because she watches that continuously. She said, "Is it true that you picked your own? What went on? And was it set up for you?"
No,
she said,
"No. That's part of the deal. You have to pick your own menu.
Menu. That's the word I was looking
for.
And
I wanted something local, so that's why I went for black pudding from Schneem, nettle soup, because everybody should have it once a year at least to clean out our blood, and Denny McCarthy from Star Seafoods." Provided the best of local sea fish for me to carry up. I carried it all up in the boot of the car, and I was glad on that night that the people who ate their dinner gave donations, which came to €1,000, which was forwarded to St. Mary of the Angels in Beaufort, and they put that €1,000 to good use. And that was an unexpected surprise. I didn't know that was going to happen at all, so that was nice.
Did you enjoy The Celebrity Go Wild? You were on that for how many weeks?
Well, that was a week or 10 days, and there was an enormous amount of money raised, and I'd again have to particularly thank Fifes, who gave a bonus of €60,000 for me to give to the charity of my of the choices that were picked. And there was an enormous, there was hundreds of thousands, to be honest, raised out of that.
Did you enjoy the whole concept
Michael? Well, I did. Well, it was interesting, and I got to meet people who I'm still friendly with to this day, and very nice people that I mightn't have met at all otherwise. And like I say, I'd do anything like that if it was for a good cause, and if there was things like that that would always come up. If I thought I could help something, and it is raise money for people.
And that brings me to something now about good causes, because on Saturday, February the 14th, here in Tralee, Romance Roses is coming up. It's a big night in aid of Chernobyl Children's Projects in Tralee, Michael. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, it's a great, again, a good cause, because it's for, the money will go in aid of the Chernobyl children, and we know of the awful problems that they have out there, we see at present. And to be honest, you know this yourself, there's stories going abound at the moment that there's even operations being performed on small little craters of children without the benefit of anaesthetic.
Yeah.
And their tonsils and everything are being operated on. And imagine the poor little craters to have those type of operations being done, and they're able to feel all the pain and everything.
And this is it.
So, look, anything like this, if the likes of you or me will be there that night, and if we'll put our shoulders to the wheel, and if money will come out of it.
Valentine's night is on.
And it's hard, to be honest, to raise money these times for charities. But, do you know, even if we go back to the 1980s, when things were very, very bad in Ireland, per capita, one of the most generous countries in the world for Live Aid and for going to out to the money going out to the famine-stricken countries at that time, Ireland was top of the league per capita out of all the countries in the world. So, in other words, the Irish people are very generous when there's a good cause.
So, Romance and Roses is a gala in aid of a dinner in aid of Chernobyl Children's Project, Saturday, February the 14th, at Valentine's Night in the Meadowlands Hotel in Tralee. If anyone out there can afford to go to that, if they have time, I mean, to go to it, MC for the night is Michael Healy-Ray. It's for a wonderful cause for Chernobyl. It's Saturday, February the 14th in the Meadowlands Hotel in Tralee, and it's in aid of the Chernobyl Children's Project. And as Michael has said there, there's even rumours coming back now that their children have been operated on without having any anaesthetic whatsoever. And that's a fearful thing. Do you know, we're going to go for a quick break. Do you know, this hour is going so fast that we could spend another 3 or 4 hours. When we come back, we'll be talking away to the lads. We'll be trying to get in a bit more of their lifetime. So stay with us. We'll be back very, very shortly.
Conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry. Conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
You're very welcome back to the final part of the programme. I'm talking to Jackie Michael and Denny Healy-Ray, and loads of comments coming in. Michael's speech in the lorry for Kerry, when Kerry came home in 2007, was great. While everybody was talking about Cork, he highlighted the win against Dublin with great cheers. Wishing Jackie, Michael and Denny the very best for the new year from your cousins in Cork, all the Lynch family. In Cork. Yeah. Just to wish the Healy-Rays all the best for 2009 from Larry McAuliffe in Castle Island. Good man, Larry. Great friend of mine also, Larry McAuliffe, a great man. Can Jackie please answer Wishy's question? Is he the oldest TD in the Dáil, Denny in Killaughlin?
Of course, I'd have no hedging in the world, Wishy, about it, but I have people like Rory O'Hanlon.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other. Paddy Sheehan from West Cork.
Yeah.
From Goline in West Cork. I wouldn't be set. To be very honest, I wouldn't be set to know where in the way earthly world.
You don't know.
But there is one thing sure that I'll tell that man anyway, if he want to know it or not, that I certainly am as busy as the busiest one of them in the Dáil.
You are, but you're not going running the next time you're stepping down.
I've the number of years to run this Dáil out with the help of God, and I hope that I'll be able to do that everywhere in the world, and I intend to do a hell of an awful lot of things between now and then. For the next number of years, and that's being very honest with you.
Now, what age was Jackie when he crossed the bog to Donovan's to listen to the match in 47?
he's a very smart man, that man that asked that question, but the trouble about it is...
They're all worried about you.
They are, man. Do you know the funny thing about it is, they're very worried about my age, but I want to tell that man anyway, whoever he is, that I had no shoes crossing the bog to Donovan's.
So you must have been only 14 or 15.
I wasn't that at all. Where in the world I went.
Betty Crosby and Killarney was on. I know Jackie a long time and remember him playing the accordion in his short pants. They're all talking about your age and short pants.
They are my age.
I also remember when Michael was 8 years old, I asked him what he would like to be when he grew up and he replied, the President of Ireland. No devil. I think he's on his way. Best wishes to all the Healy Rays. That's from Betty Crosby.
Thanks, Betty.
The Healy Rays are what Kerry people are all about. Great workers and great characters. It's a right pity they are not here in North Kerry to post things, Tom and Linksnaw. Christ, North Kerry. Kerry are wanting you up there.
Will you tell Tom now and Linksnaw we see that I'll have to say hello to him for a special reason.
Right.
Because I went in as a substitute, and of course I can't tell you what year was that either. It was the first time I went to go play hurling with Kilgarvan.
Yeah.
And I know it isn't Tom done this, but Kilgarvan were playing in Lixnaw anyway, and they had a row of plain wire keeping out the people around off the playing field.
Are you saying that the people were dangerous, that they were keeping them out? Is that what you're saying?
Hold on a minute. Now, let me tell you what happened. And you can be deciding that after, Wishy. And we're going to a lot of playing fields. So I put my hand under the wire anyway. I had my hurley and I was fairly fit at the time. And I was disappointed that I wouldn't have the team from the start. But I was going in anyway to take my place in the half forward line because somebody was coming off. And I got Pollock's going in under the wire. I got a nice little lally tap down on the pole when I put on my head to go under the wire. And I see no more of the match. I woke up later in a motor car in the back seat.
Where was that again?
In Linksnaw.
No, Tom in Linksnaw. Tom, that'll quieten you up there. Yes, James Siobhan and all the Harrington family, best wishes to the Healy Rays. They are good, hard-working people. I think that would sum you up. Denny was the only politician who came to Tullig in Castle Island the day we flooded. That comes from Brendan Brosnan. Now, so, well done with that. I was going to ask you one or two more things. Michael, what's your ambition in politics?
My main ambition is on June the 11th to go before the people in the Killarglen electoral area and to be elected to represent them, because I genuinely like the job of work of being a member of Kerry County Council and being on the health service executive, because I like helping people that have problems in the best way that I can, and I dearly love to be elected again. And that's what I'm looking forward to. If it'll
Denny, what's your ambition in politics?
Likewise, we see. Next June's council election is. I hope to be re-elected to serve the people of the Killarney electoral area, that I've been proud to do so over the last 5.5 years. And I suppose this time it'll be that bit harder because I don't have Kilgarvan with me. It's changed. The boundaries changed, and it's gone into the Killarney area, and my territory is now from Lewbridge to Castle Island. Yeah. And it will be that bit harder. But I'm sure with the supporters I have in Kilgarvan, and you know, if my work over the last 5 years is recognised, I'd be hopeful that I will achieve that and retain the seat that my father has held since 1973, to hold that council seat for our supporters and the people that have stood four square behind us in the last 35 or 36 years.
Jack, looking back over your career now, what's your one great disappointment in politics? If there's one single thing that has left a void or disappointed you?
Yes, I have that one all right. That in 1997, I felt with the backing I had that I should have been on the Fianna Fáil team.
Yeah. That still rankles a lot, Jack.
It rankles a lot. And you see, the consensus is from the people that were at that convention is that actually, if the full truth was known, that I won the convention. But immediately after, very close supporters of mine, the late Tom Keller from Bradmore and others, got on to Bertie Ahern, and they asked him to meet me specially with regard to putting me on the ticket. And of course, he agreed to meet me, and along with the late Maurice Galliman, got me with him again, we headed for Dublin on the train. And we went into Linster House and we met Bertie Ahern, and we sat with him for exactly an hour and 2 minutes. And on we leaving, I said one thing to him. I said, don't put me down the road of going independent. I said, in the name of God, don't put me down the road of running independent Fianna Fáil, because if we're not putting me on the ticket, that's exactly what I'm doing. He shook hands to me, and his last words were, You will not be going down the road independent, Fianna Fáil. He said, we're having a meeting of our strategy committee Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And I found out after there was only one man in the room that morning at 10 o'clock that said, I can't understand why you won't put Healy Ray on in South Kerry. And that man, I have no hesitation in the world of naming him, but I could name a lot of others. That man was Ray McSherry. Because he said, he'll have him if he'll win the seat. And if he don't win the seat, he'll lose him. And he'll be looking for him after. He could very well be looking. And the next time that he hadn't contacted me, where she was, when he got in touch with me after I'd been elected by the people of South and West Kerry, see, where I go up to help him to make a government for 5 years, and I did do that and did it in a very special way.
Well done. Mike, one final word from you, something to say?
Well, I suppose, again, when I started out, it was in 1991, that was the first time I went before a convention, and I lost that convention, I narrowly lost it, and I had to wait again until 1999, and the only ambition that I'd have, if I could serve and give a fraction of the service that my father has given in the past, if I could continue to do that in the future,
Jenny,
I'd be...
final word from you.
Well, we say just that I want to be allowed to continue to help the people of the Killarney electoral area that I'm representing.
30 seconds, Jack, to finish up.
30 Jackie seconds. I had one great notice of motion for Kerry County Council one time, we she, and that was to call on the county engineer to take the rats off the road at Dunryan on the road to Tralee. And Peter Malone, the Lord of Mercy, stood up and he said, I'm going out in the morning, he said, every morning at 9 o'clock, and I'm coming in every evening, and I see no rats. And I said, they're saluting me going into Killarney and into Tralee, and the head of the Kerryman was, rats recognise county councillors, but do not recognise the county engineer.
And we see one final thing.
10 seconds, Mike.
Jenny said it already. I want to wish... send my best wishes to my uncle Mick and Dinny and Hanny and Kathy.
Listen, lads, it was great having you.
And my sister Joan.
Thanks for coming in.
And I do as well, Weeshy. To America.
And all the best, Weeshy.
Well, thanks, Weeshy.
In conversation with Weeshy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.